Our text is found in John chapter 2. John chapter 2. This is a popular time of year when a lot of people will attend a church service. And they do so because it's Easter, and some maybe call it Resurrection Sunday. And many people, their mind is brought to think about attending a church service because it's a holiday. It's a holiday, like they might attend at Christmas time and or at this time, which is in the world called Easter. And the purpose for this time that we call Easter or the Resurrection Sunday, it's to remember, it's to celebrate that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. And the raising of our Savior is good news. It certainly is very, very good news. But you know, it's only good news to some. It's not good news to everybody. If you or a family member has just had a child, you've just given birth to a child, to you whose child it is, or to you who know the person that had the child, to you, you have an interest in it. And it's something that you think about and talk about, and you're joyful in the birth of a child. But to those who don't know the parents or who don't know, have any interest in the child, it's of no interest to them, really. They don't really care about it. Well, that's how the resurrection is. It's of interest to the children of God. And so we know on this day that there's many who are attending a church service in order to check off a religious box. But it's important to note that attending a church service, whether once a year or every time the door is open, that doesn't save us. That doesn't give us eternal life, nor does it get us closer to having eternal life, nor does it give us any favor with the true and living God. But it is a place to be, and I am thankful, especially and only for those places that do preach the gospel on this day, and that there may be some who come for all the wrong reasons. But what a blessing it is if the Lord attends that gospel word and blesses it to the heart of some sinner who may be there for all the wrong reasons, but gives them an ear of faith to hear and rejoice in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, very early in the Gospel of John, our Lord speaks of his resurrection. Early, very early, here in John chapter 2. And the reason why this comes up is, well, God had purposed it. He purposed it to come up, to be declared here. But from our perspective as men and women looking at this, we see that he was responding to a question raised by the Jews who were selling animals in the temple. Our Lord said in verse 16, "Take these things hence. Get these animals and your money-changing tables out of here. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." They were selling animals in the temple of God, and they thought it made good business sense to efficiently line up the worship of God in such a way so that it was just easy for people and they didn't have to think about it. And these people, of course, made money. They profited off of their business and setting up shop right where the customers would need these animals for sacrifice. But turn to verse 18. Look there at 18. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Prove to us that you have the authority of God to destroy our fleshly business model here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? See, they could only understand fleshly things. They looked at the temple built up with great stones that took 46 years to believe. And so the words that Christ spoke, they only heard it in the flesh. They only understood what he was saying in a very carnal, fleshly way. But we're told in verse 21, he spake of the temple of his body. The temple of his body. He was speaking of the death he should die, his crucifixion, and that he would be raised from the dead. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Something wonderful, very extraordinary, occurred and was accomplished when our Savior was crucified. When he died on the cross, he accomplished our salvation. And we see here from these words, we're given an insight to this truth, that when Christ, what Christ accomplished for his people in his death was only understood in the resurrection. It was only understood after Christ was raised from the dead. So we're going to look at what our Savior accomplished in his death and resurrection today. And we're going to see, why is it that it's only understood by the church after Christ rose from the dead? And I'll tell you now that that's a reference to what our Lord does from us in raising us up from the dead and giving us spiritual life. That's when it's made a blessing to us. That's when we are given an interest in what Christ did in laying down his life for the church and the glory that is revealed to us in his resurrection. I titled this message, He Spake of the Temple of His Body. He spake of the temple of his body. And so we're going to look at this under two headings. Why is this good news? Why is this good news? And then secondly, when does it become good news? When does it become good news to me? When did the Lord make this to be good news to a filthy, dead, undeserving sinner like me? So the children of God, or Christians. Now, not every Christian is a child of God, but every child of God is a Christian. Right? Not every Christian is a child of God. There's many people who profess to be Christian and to be a Christian. But no one is a child of God except they are brought into and under the blood of Christ, made a true spiritual Christian by the Lord. So the children of God, they will be heard to speak of good news, to declare the good news which they have heard of the Lord and now rejoice in. And this good news is a reference, what we're speaking of is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't good news to everybody. There's a people to whom it is very good news, and they rejoice in it, but it's not good news to everybody. It's only good news to those who have an interest in the good news. It's only good news to those who have an interest in it. And in verse 21, John 2:21, we learn why that is. Why is it that only some have an interest in it? Because Christ spake of the temple of his body. He spake of the temple of his body. And just as the Jews who heard him say these words didn't understand what he was talking about, so it is that millions of souls, by now billions of souls, that have lived and died in the earth and now are alive this day, many, many have no interest in the death of Christ and no interest in his resurrection. But of those whom he spake, the temple of his body, they hear it and they rejoice. To them it is good news, because they believe the word that is spoken to them. They have an interest in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it is good news to them. You that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your righteousness, that we are sinners who could not save ourselves, but Christ is the righteousness of God, sent in the flesh to this world, spared not by the Father, but delivered him up for us all to put away our sins. We have an interest in what Christ did, and so to us, it is good news. We don't make it good news to us. God has made it good news to us by giving us an interest in what his Son has done for his people. So Christ Jesus came for sinners. He said, I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so the temple of his body, the church, is filled with sinners saved. None of us are here because we're righteous in ourselves. We're sinners. We're sinners. We've thought sinful things. We've done sinful things. We've entrapped others with our sin. We've done horrible, wicked works, and we've rebelled against our God. And we still do. We see the corruption in this flesh. It's not that we're such good and wonderful people that God says, wow, these people are something. When he says they're something, it's because we are filthy, vile sinners. We've gone the way of darkness. But it's by the grace and mercy of our God that we are delivered from that dark and wicked way that leads to death. And so, because the Lord saves sinners, so it is that sinners have an interest in what Christ has done. If you're a sinner, listen up, because there's good news for sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. By his death and resurrection, we hear the good news of God for sinners who need a Savior, for sinners who need salvation. For sinners who need forgiveness with God, they find it in the one whom God has sent to be merciful to his people, to be gracious to them in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason why Christ was crucified, it wasn't because he did anything worthy of death. He gave his life to save his people from their sins, to put away the sins of his people. He accomplished their salvation by redeeming them, by paying the redemption price, which was his precious blood. It cost him his life to give us life, to set us free from the condemnation that we earned and deserved by our own sinful works, by our sinful nature, by our rebellion and hatred of God, and the enmity that is in us by nature. Christ delivered us from that. He delivered us from our dead works, and so that we would obtain forgiveness with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So let's look at some scriptures now that confirm what I just said to you about salvation for sinners by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Acts 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. And we're going to be picking up in verse 26. If I remember rightly, this is the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. And they're out preaching the good news to the Jews. They think that at this time, this is what they're supposed to do, that they're to go to the Jews in the synagogue of the Jews and there be given a platform to preach the gospel of Christ to the Jews. And so that's why Paul says here in verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, you physical seed of and physical descendants of Abraham, and he adds, whosoever among you feareth God, to you that fear God is this word sent, this word of the salvation sent. So Paul there is acknowledging that there's a particular people, a peculiar people to whom this word of the Lord is sent. Our Lord is addressing a people. He's seeking out a people. He's seeking out a people who have an interest. And that is that he's given an interest of in this word of this gospel too. And so it's going to be revealed in his people that this word, which the Lord is speaking here this day, that's for me. That's for me. He's talking to me. I'm the sinner. I need this salvation. He adds, verse 27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not. They didn't know that this is the Messiah. Even his disciples didn't fully understand what Christ came to accomplish. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. They were looking for a Jewish rule over the Gentile nations under the authority and command of this Jesus of Nazareth. So they didn't understand until they knew him as the redeeming Savior after the resurrection. Right? That's when they knew Christ fully and understood who he was. They knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desire they Pilate that he should be slain. And so there's that word. Christ wasn't slain for any sins that he committed. He didn't go to the cross because he was a sinner or committed some crime worthy of death. Not at all. He went there to save his people, to accomplish their redemption by the death of himself. And to do that, he offered himself to the Father to make an atonement for our sins. And the Father was well pleased with what the Son gave him. Perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. God raised his Son from the dead. And then he gives a proof of Christ's resurrection. He adds in verse 31, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, or good news. Good news, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And so we see here that God raised up his Son to declare to us that the sacrifice of his Son is accepted. God received the work of his Son, and by what Christ did for us, we are delivered from our sins and we're forgiven of the Father through the blood of his Son. Now, I've said to you a few times already that there's a people who have an interest in what Christ has done. There's a people to whose ear this word is good news, to know I don't have to labor. There's nothing I can do to save myself. There's no work I can do, no sacrifice I can make to save myself. That's not what God is looking for. He's looking to the Son for all my righteousness. Well, to you who can do nothing, who who have no ability to do any good work, and you have no confidence or trust in yourself, in your goodness, in your strength, in your willingness, but you see that I'm the sinner, he's the Savior. That's good news to that sinner who can do nothing to save themselves, to know that God has provided everything for the sinner of his choosing. He's brought them to an end in themselves. He's brought them to nothing in themselves. He's shut them up so that they have no strength or ability to even do a good work. They know I'm the sinner and Christ is the Savior. Have mercy on me, Lord. Save me. Forgive me. Cleanse me of my sin, Lord. Save me by the blood of your Son. To that one, it's good news. And we have an example here in Acts 13 of how the Lord distinguishes his grace between the sinner saved and that ignorant one who thinks they're something, even though they're wicked and vile in the sight of God. Look down at verse 48, and we'll read to verse 50 together. First, the one to whom it is good news. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, ordained by God to eternal life, believed. They heard it. This is good news. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now here's those to whom it wasn't good news. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. They kicked them out. Get out of here. We don't want to hear that. Come back here again. We'll whip you. We'll beat you. But God knows them that are his. And that's the word. And so the word that he sends seeks them out. The word that the Father sends seeks out the sinner who's here in the congregation, who's hearing online, who hears on sermon audio, wherever they hear it. He seeks them out, the sinner who has no hope in themselves, but hears what Christ has done, what God has done for his people graciously by Christ. To them, it is good news. Now, this good news is spoken of in the prophets, just like Paul says here. It's spoken of in the prophets. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and we're going to begin in verse 3. Verse 3 speaks to where we were when our Savior, when our Lord wrought salvation for us. We see that when he finds us, we don't have an interest in him. When he finds us, we're sitting in darkness. We're content in our death. We don't even know that we're dead. We're just lying there, helpless, doing our own thing, thinking everything's fine. But the Lord comes to us, even in our death, not because we've done anything good, but because he will be gracious to us in Christ. And that's described here in verse 3. Christ, the one whom God has sent, is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's all of us by nature. That's where we are when God finds us. Even his disciples forsook him on the night that Christ was betrayed by Judas. Surely, verse 4, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That speaks to when Christ was here in the flesh and took to himself. He bore the sicknesses and the diseases and the infirmities of the people who had no healing for their wounds and had no comfort for their sicknesses and diseases. Christ bore them and did many other good works for the people. Yet, even having done that, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That is, when Christ was led away to be crucified, the disciples didn't understand. They said on the road to Emmaus, we thought that it had been him who was the Messiah. We thought that he was the Messiah with everything he did and everything he spoke and said. We thought he was the Messiah. But I guess not. I guess we were wrong. Because now he's been taken away from us. They didn't understand until after the resurrection. Then they understood. And so, next we see in verse 5, the confession. Once the resurrection occurs, once the Lord Jesus Christ is raised in our hearts, once we are raised from the dead and born anew in the new man after the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we understand, I'm the sinner. I'm the one he came to save. I'm of his body, the temple of Christ. I'm the one whom he laid down his body for to raise me up in himself and to give me life. Verse 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. When the Lord makes his salvation known to us, he makes us to know, I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. Christ came for sinners. That's me. He died for my sins. My sins put him there. He's perfect and holy and righteous and just, but he gave his life for me. He bore my burden to purge me of my sins and to deliver me from the condemnation that I so justly deserve, to be separated from God forever. And so our God graciously gives us to know our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that we need his blood, his salvation. We must be washed in his blood. We must be forgiven of God through his Son. He makes us to know our need, and he makes us to know that he is sufficient to meet that need. Only he can save us. Only he is the salvation appointed of God, and that he came to save his people from their sins. Lord, let me be found in that number. Let me be found in your body as one who is a sinner saved and washed clean by your blood. And we see that's what the Lord does. Drop down to verse 10. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And that prosperity, which is in his hand, is worked in us, that salvation, whereby the Lord accomplished our salvation, and he brings it to us to know what he's done for us by giving his life, and in his raising, being raised from the dead, so that we experience and are made partakers of the grace of our God in Jesus Christ. Now, when does it become good news to me? Right? This salvation is wrought by Christ for the salvation of his people, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. His church is his temple. The temple of his body. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You who believe Christ are the church, and the church is the temple of God in whom he dwells. The Spirit of Christ dwells in his people. And so his body, which is the temple, was crucified with Christ. We were put to death in the Lord Jesus Christ that we might live anew unto our God in the Spirit. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8. Let's look at verses 6 through 8. Paul says it here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, so that Christ's death canceled the debt that we owed, because he paid it in full. There's nothing left for you and I to pay who believe in Christ. All those outside of Christ trying to come to God and their own righteousness and goodness, they'll be paying for all their sin because they came in their own righteousness, in their own works. But you that have no righteousness and come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, your debt has been paid in full. And this also declares that Christ has delivered us from the dominion, the reign of sin, so that now we know our God. We trust him. We're not laboring in fear and worry to say, I haven't done enough. I got to do something more to make myself good and acceptable with God. No, we've been given peace in Christ to know he's all my righteousness. The Father is well pleased with the Son, and he's well pleased with all who come to him in the Son, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're dead with Christ, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Paul says we believe. Now, we that have died with Christ now believe in Christ because he was raised, and we were raised in him unto newness of life. And this is the final point that I want you to see from our passage in John chapter 2 concerning the resurrection of Christ. When is this made good news to me? When do I hear it as good news? Well, it says in verse 22, in John 2:22, when therefore Christ was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. This belief by the disciples is something much more than just they made a connection. And they saw the logical aspects of the words that Christ spoke. These disciples understood that we believe this day because the power of God has come upon us. God is being gracious to us, that though we were dead in trespasses and sins, now, by his power, through the preaching of Christ crucified and what he accomplished in his death for us, that he went into the grave and was raised again, now in him I died, and all my sins were put away by Christ, and I was buried with him. And now I am raised again by the power of God unto newness of life, whereby I see and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That gift includes the gift of faith, whereby we believe that he is the Savior, that he has accomplished my redemption, and I am raised in newness of life by Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, and by his glorious power. And the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, seeking out his people with this gospel word, this good news. And he brings it home to their heart with power to hear it for the first time with faith and belief. And every time that you hear it and rejoice in Christ and rejoice in what you're hearing, it's by the grace of your God being merciful to you, by giving you and showing you your interest in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for his people. For by grace are you saved through faith, And that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8. And so everything that you and I require in salvation is all met for us and given to us in full by the Son, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit of God as well is sent unto us to show us our need and to show us our sin and our filth and what we are in ourselves and to show us that Christ is sufficient. He is able, and He reveals faith in our hearts whereby we believe and confess, Lord, save me. Help me, Lord. Don't pass me by. Don't leave me here in my sin. Save me. Cleanse me with the blood of your Son. And the Spirit works that in us, and He does it by exalting Christ in our hearts as the salvation of God for me. It makes us to glory in Him. Our Lord said in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," and He spoke of His death, His crucifixion, "I will draw all men unto me." And so it is that He died for His people, was raised again for His people, and so He is lifted up and exalted in the hearts of His people by the Spirit of God through the preaching of Christ crucified. I pray that you who are gathered here this day to hear this word, that it comes to your ear as good news. And every time that you hear it, that the Lord keeps making it good news to you, showing you your interest in Christ and showing you that He is sufficient to save even me, the most vile, wicked sinner, to the uttermost, that He saves me to the uttermost. I'll just close with this scripture that's found in 2 Peter 1:19, where he writes, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Christ is the day star. He's the one whom the Spirit exalts and lifts up and gives an interest in the hearts and minds of His people to know, I need that Savior. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that You sent Him and cleansed me, had mercy on me, an unworthy sinner. I praise the Lord. Bless your hearts this day to rejoice because you have an interest in Christ Jesus. Amen.